Well, here we have Jesus at his confusing best, I think. Sometimes I have a great deal of sympathy for the disciples as they try to figure out what their master wants them to understand. Today's gospel passage follows immediately after yesterday's, which ended with the disciples being greatly astounded at the idea that a rich man could not enter the kingdom of heaven. But the theme running through today's readings is sacrifice. That's already a confusing topic for us without a Jewish worldview. What makes a proper sacrifice? Does God need or want sacrifice? Can there be good and bad reasons for making a sacrifice? And what should the attitude of someone be who is making a sacrifice? On the day before the beginning of Lent 2019, these questions should really matter to us. After all, we have our own Catholic version of sacrifice. We ask, so what are you going to give up for Lent? Interestingly, the children often find this idea very exciting, and they really buy into it. And we want to do it right. Important to note is that sacrifice is an offering. It is a gift to God. In the ancient world, sacrifices of animals or grains or even of children were offered to gods who demanded them in return for protection or fertility or even just to demonstrate their power over people. But even though the Jewish law required sacrifice, there were profound new meanings attached to those sacrifices. In these few verses of Sirach, we get an idea of some of the ways that this God is different from the gods of the nations, and therefore how different are the meanings of the sacrifices. Most importantly, God does not need our offerings, our sacrifices. This God is entirely self-sufficient and benefits absolutely nothing by anything that we can offer him. Naturally, then, we would ask if there is any benefit to such an offering. Why bother? But Sirach says, do not appear before the Lord empty-handed. Here are a few reasons that I note from the text. First is that we are invited to give to God as he has given to us. Recognize that we are the ones who have been best blessed with life and a purpose in this world and a destiny beyond this world. Our offering is an outward sign or a recognition that all we have and are comes from God's goodness and his desire to bless us. Further to this idea, in the beginning, God created everything from nothing. At the creation, we find that the first commandment was to be good stewards, caretakers of all that he had made. When we sacrifice to God, we are acknowledging that everything belongs to God. And this is, of course, hard in our culture because we have such strong ideas about ownership and possession. But none of it is ours. We are stewards, not owners. Next, we see that we should give cheerfully, not grudgingly. That's the only way that we can develop grateful hearts. Perhaps you have heard of the idea of gratitude journaling. It's being promoted today as a way of developing a sense of well-being. No one can be happy without being grateful. It's a fact of human nature, the nature with which God has made us. Also, we see the idea that offering keeps us free from wickedness when we give freely. Offering what we have pleases God, but really, sacrifice with the right attitude cancels, negates our greed and our pride, and promotes righteousness, which is holiness. Also, sacrifice to God symbolizes our desire to atone for our sins, which separate us from God. From the God who wants only blessing for us. In the end, that atonement lifts us up and brings us closer to the God who loves us. In Jesus' time, there were also some broken ideas about sacrificial offering. There must have been many doubts among those disciples of Jesus. As Peter declares, we have given up or sacrificed not just the 10% tithe required by the law, but we have given up everything to follow you. You asked us to follow you, and we didn't hold back. Essentially, he's asking, what is going to be our compensation, our reward for what we have offered? And Jesus gives yet another surprising answer. Oh yes, you will get 100 times what you gave up, but you will also be persecuted. Now, that's of course not what they wanted to hear. When Mark is writing his gospel for the church at Rome, there's a severe persecution going on under Emperor Nero. The Christians are there starting to ask the question, is this what we have to look forward to? And in Mark, Jesus makes it a point to say, yes, for now, but you will also have life beyond measure, eternal life. Then he goes on to say, but don't try to possess that life. It's a free gift. Even your position in the kingdom is not something for you to possess. Not only do you not know who will be first or last, but you should stop even thinking in that way. Even as a disciple, that's not a kingdom way of thinking. And so we might ask, what is our reward if we sacrifice to our God? What if this Lent we make some sacrifices? Will there be any point to it? Will something good happen? I suggest that the benefit of our sacrifice will not be a payment for services rendered to God. Our sacrifice to God actually changes us. It forms who we are. This is the Lenten process. Be shaped into what God wants you to be so that you may receive the blessing that God wants you to have. During this Mass, we will make an offering of bread and wine, which symbolizes the giving of ourselves to God, who turns that tiny gift into the astounding gift of God Himself, which He gives back to us at communion. It is His promise of eternal life to those who make a pleasing sacrifice to God.